This morning's reading is going to be from Acts 20, verses 7 through 12. On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, Paul was holding a discussion with them. Since he intended to leave the next day, he continued speaking until midnight. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where they were meeting. A young man named Eutychus, who was sitting in the window, began to sink off into a deep sleep while Paul talked still longer. Overcome by sleep, he fell to the ground three floors below and was picked up dead. Sorry. It's a hey, it is. But Paul went down and, bending over him, took him into his arms and said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." Then Paul went back upstairs, and after he had broken bread and eaten, he continued to curse, converse with them. Not curse. Converse. With them until dawn, and then he left. Meanwhile, they had taken the boy away alive, and were not a little comforted. Amen.
You can't make that stuff up. Paul may not have cursed, but if he was speaking until midnight, there were probably some other people that were not real happy with that. So would you pray with me a moment? Holy God, sometimes it is really hard to stay awake. But we know that with your help, you will wake us up and help us stay woke for the bringing of the good news of your love for all people to this community and out into the world. Empower us to do it by the power and the Spirit and the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And we say together, Amen. So this is continuation of Outside My Own Little World sermon series. Today it's part one, and it's about I Try to Stay Awake. And one of our resources for this worship series is from Worship Studio Design, and that is Marcia McPhee. And Marcia recognizes that there is a challenge with staying awake spiritually. So she suggests that you bring a little levity, which we already have with the scripture, but we're going to bring a little levity, compliments of Mr. Bean. So I encourage you to enjoy this and see how you might identify. Could you identify a little bit with Mr. Bean? The first time I saw this, I thought, there's something really wrong with the sound. I can't hear a thing that the minister is saying. What kind of language is this in? And then I realized, I hope I don't sound like that. But some days, if you're sleepy enough, you probably do find yourself droning off. So I want to keep you awake at least for a few minutes and talk about two kinds of wakefulness. So there's the kind of wakefulness and both sleep deprivation that happens for any and all parents who have ever tried to take care of a colicky baby or babysat with a colicky baby. Can I get a witness on that? Woo, yeah. And how about those of us who can be worn out by the care of adult parents and everything that goes with that? So these are sort of legitimate ways in which we can get worn out. There are lots of other ways. I mean, there could be a picture of a parent with a special needs child, or there could be parents who adopt kids from other cultures, which is also a huge challenge and can wear you out and make you genuinely physically sleepy. But there's another kind of wakefulness, and any of you that have done any reading in depth psychology know that there's a concept called shadow, and we all have a shadow side. That's the side that we can't see. And here you have Shadow basically having this guy not even look at the person on the street. And here's another example of being asleep and not being awake at all. These three lovely ladies are posing for a picture, clearly, and they don't even see this guy. And so there's a kind of way that we can fall asleep because we are physically and emotionally exhausted. And there's another way that we can fall asleep because to see the pain of another is unsettling. And oftentimes we would rather not see it than see it. Can I get a witness on that? So I had a couple of teachers this week. They happened to be members of my family. And this is our youngest son, Jacob, doing his best to look as cool as he can in the back of our boat cruising on the lake in Maine. And Jacob, like his brother, is somewhat conscious of how he looks. So the sunglasses have been carefully chosen, the watch has been carefully chosen, the Patagonia has been carefully chosen, and he's even wearing shorts called chubbies that he likes. And even the position of his head implies a little bit of cockiness, could we say? And this is Jacob and me at Denison University on August the 26th, dropping him off because he is now a first-year student at Denison. And this is not an advertisement for Denison, but Denison is a small liberal arts private college. Like so many small private liberal arts colleges, it sits up on a hill. It's kind of completely isolated from the community in which it is located. And 54% of the students receive financial aid, Jacob being one of them. The total cost for 1 year at Denison is $67,970. So if 54% have some kind of financial aid, how many have no financial aid? 46. 46%, almost half, parents have resources to pay this times four. And so Jacob said to me while we were talking on the phone, I've met some kids here who are woke and some who are clueless. And I said, Jacob, what's woke mean? He said, Dad, don't you know about hashtag woke? And I said, no, I don't. It's an Instagram. It's social media. It's a way of people connecting around issues of primarily racial justice and injustice. And so he said, Dad, you know, the reality is there are kids here who have come from such privileged families, they don't even know how fortunate they are. They can't even see it. They can't even begin to understand. And so what they do is, because of the sense of entitlement, they tend to label other people as losers or scum or, you know, just, you know, not worth paying attention to. From an 18-year-old, I hear this term about hashtag woke, and I know he's on to something. Now, this is not a sermon bashing wealth. I'm sure that there are some wealthy families who have kids there who are very compassionate and are very woke. But when Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than it is to get into the kingdom of heaven, he was simply acknowledging that if you have everything you need, it's very difficult to see others and even see or need God. So did you hear me? I'm not bashing wealth. It's just that wealth sometimes can isolate and insulate and keep us from seeing what's going on around us. Now, I have also met people who are very poor who are not woke either, because they've been hurt and burdened and they can't see anything either. That's my lovely wife. Yes, I do have a wife. She is a pastor of a UCC church over in Kairos, which is why you don't see her very often. But yes, indeed, I have a wife who is very lovely. And I'm guessing if your house was anything like my house, with all that was going on in the news this past week, we had some conversation about hashtag Me Too. And I found myself daring to say, if I had to think about what I did 30 years ago when I was in high school, I would be a little uncomfortable being held to that kind of standard. And my wife said to me, it isn't about how long. Then she went on to say, I'd never heard this before, two times in my life I had to physically fight off in order to say no. So it isn't just about the length of time. It's about, is this important, and do women's voices count? And do we do everything we can to hear them instead of pushing it aside because it's too painful to think about? So I said to her, well, honey, you know, if I was thinking about, you know, being a teenager, I made some decisions that weren't very good either. And she said, well, did you ever pin down a woman and force yourself on her? And I said, no. And she said, that's because you're a good man, and there are some men that aren't good, or at least have been conditioned or feel like they have permission. If we don't give women an opportunity to be heard, we aren't woke. We're sleeping. We're numb. We're not paying attention. I noticed in myself the reason why I was fighting a little bit to stay asleep is that I didn't want to think that there could be someone who might look like me who would do this. It's too hard. Although it wasn't. You have to stay open to get outside of your own little world and maybe believe someone's experience, even if it seems outlandish and almost impossible. So we're not woke all the time. Some of us are sleeping. Some of us are selectively woke. But we're all on the road. This jovial-looking fellow is Father Richard Rohr, who has done lots of writing. He's the leader of a contemplative group in, I think, New Mexico. He's written a lot. And this, anybody know who this is? If you do, yell it out the name. Yeah, Bill Wilson, founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. And Richard Rohr wrote on September the 20th about healing addiction, and he says, Jesus taught a spirituality of imperfection, and Bill Wilson did kind of a secular adaptation of the gospel by developing this 12-step program. And I was intrigued by Richard Rohr's description of addiction or attachment is what we typically or the biblically have talked about as sin. Read this paragraph with me. Addiction or attachment can be a metaphor for what the biblical tradition called sin. It's quite helpful to see sin like addiction as a destructive disease instead of something for which we're culpable or punishable and that makes God unhappy. If sin indeed makes God unhappy, it's because God loves us, desires nothing more than our happiness, and wills the healing of our disease. And as I was reflecting on my conversation with my wife about the hashtag MeToo and with Jacob's conversation about the sense of racial justice and awareness of those kinds of issues, it occurred to me that lots of times I'm not awake or I stay asleep because it is more convenient, and it doesn't cause me to have to ask myself, how is it that I might contribute to this or even be a part of it because of the system in which we live? So Richard Rohr went on to say that transformation has little to do with intelligence, willpower, or perfection. It has everything to do with honesty, humility, willingness, and surrender. That's what I was trying to practice when I was listening to my son, who was using this language that was foreign to me, and my wife, who said, it depends on which perspective you're looking at with questions about domestic violence. It depends on your perspective. Because I was never attacked. So it's almost too difficult to believe, and yet it happens. And it's wrong. Right, sisters and brothers? And in some ways, it is a dis-ease. Why would someone force another person to do something they don't want to do? There is a dis-ease at work. So we can get woke. If we choose to get woke. Now, I hope that you enjoy the table here, because there are lots of ways that we wake up. How many of you have an alarm clock? How many of you would just as soon not hear it go off in the morning? How many of you will wake up just a little bit before it because you'd rather wake up a little bit before it than have it go So be aware of the people in your life who could be teachers about how to be awake. Could be your own family, could be a coworker, could be somebody you least expect. But there are teachers in our midst. Thanks be to God.